You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Turn up your volume. Turn up your volume.
Because you're about to listen to
The Sick Podcast.
The Sick Podcast. With Tony Maradero.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the bomb!
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la victoire des Canadiens. Et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens. Le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked a young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground. Your premier gaming destination. It's going to be sick.
Marinero on this Friday, March 8th. Today was NHL trade deadline day, and the deadline was 3 p.m., but some trades came in a few minutes later once all the faxes and the paperwork and all of that is all entered and registered with the league registrar and the head office and all that stuff. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. TV stations were out and about. They were there. They were doing their thing. And I have to tell you, I had an awesome day today. A long one, a tiring one, but a very enjoyable one. 22 years in the business. And for the first time ever, I was in TV studio for NHL trade deadline day from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on TV Sport. And I really want to thank LP Neveu and Mathieu Bédard, my bosses at TVA Sports, for the confidence, for the opportunity. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty awesome. I hope you all had a chance to watch. To tell you the truth, I thought we put on a pretty good show. One, I'm not going to lie to you. One of the things that's bothered me over the past couple of years is I find that TV isn't as exciting as it should be. A lot of people agree. Everyone taps each other on the back. Yeah, you're good. You're right. You're right. Nobody wants to defend. No one wants to disagree. As a matter of fact, the art of debate is kind of like slowly going away, but we were able to rekindle it. I thought we had an amazing day. What did you think of the Montreal Canadiens day? Did you think it was an amazing day? If I would have told you a week ago, even a couple of days ago, that the Montreal Canadiens were going to move Jake Allen, pay 50% of his contract, and get a draft pick in return, would you have believed me? Well, I hope you did, because as a matter of fact, as early as today at around 12:45 p.m., I was on Larac and Gonzalez on BPM Sports Radio, and George Larac is coming up in about a minute or two, and he asked me, what are the Canadians going to do today? And I said, well, one of the two, Savard and Allen, will get traded, and for it to happen, the Canadians will have to pay 50% of the salary. I said, I'm going to go with Allen because Savard, I think you could end up getting more for him next year. And besides, what's the rush to trade him? You could give this time, a little bit more time, to Ryan Backer, to Mayu, to ease their way into the lineup and maybe even Savard can mentor them. And you know what? We'll see what happens with Savard. I'm convinced that he'll be traded, if not at the deadline next year, maybe a month and a half before the deadline. But it was Jake Allen that was traded. Tanner Pearson, unfortunately, was not. If you were hoping that Yoel Armia was going to get traded, he wasn't either. But once again, there were 23 trades. Who's your Stanley Cup favorite right now? Who do you think is going to win the Cup after all was said and done? I have to tell you, there's one team in the East and one team in the West that I like a little bit more than the others. But I do also like a couple of other teams. But I'll give you two teams by the end of the podcast tonight. The Sick Podcast, brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group. Also brought to you in part by La Bitte TV, also brought to you in part by Playground. I'll get to the reads a little bit later. Without further ado, let's bring him in. Former NHLer, former Montreal Canadian from BPM Spot, George Larac, how are you?
Very good, Tony. How's everything?
Very, very good. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was about a month ago, maybe 4 weeks ago. I don't know. I'm not all that good with time, that you said David Savard's going to get traded before the deadline. I said, I'm not so sure. And you said, come on, Tony, he's going to get traded. And I said, George, you want to bet? And you said, lunch. I said, where? You said, anywhere. I said, George, I don't feel like eating tofu. I feel like having a big steak. You said, Tony, you could choose wherever you want.
That's right.
And the bet was on.
I owe you lunch. I'm not going to eat meat. I owe you lunch, and I'll – wherever we go, I have a salad, but you want dinner, so you pick wherever you want.
Thank you very much, my friend. I appreciate it. By the way, I'm not going to abuse, okay? Even though I know you do pretty well for yourself, it's going to be a very respectable lunch or dinner. I have a good heart when it comes to these things, okay?
We could do dinner. Dinner will be better.
Okay, lunch. Dinner will be better. Well, yeah, I hope so. You're working during the week, right?
At lunch. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So let's do dinner, wherever you want.
Okay, so let's get to it. Jake Allen traded by the Montreal Canadiens to the New Jersey Devils. They receive a third-round pick in 2025. There's a condition here. Should Jake Allen play 40 games next year and the Devils make the playoffs, that third-round pick becomes a second-round pick. I think for both to happen, let's be honest, is pretty unlikely. So it's Jake Allen for a third-round pick to the Devils in 2025. The Canadians have to pay half the salary, which means they pay half his salary this year. They pay half the salary next year, which means the Canadians had three retention spots in terms of salary used towards players' contracts. Before the Allen deal, they had used up two. Now they used up all three, which means this summer they can't use any up. But next year, there's one retention slot available because next year there's going to be Petrie and there's going to be Jake Allen. One will be available. And I remind you, next year in the final year of their contract will be Yoel Armia, Christian Dvorak, and David Savard, if memory serves me well. So, George, did you think Allen was going to get traded?
Okay, no, I didn't think he was going to get traded. And there's actually two things regarding this trade. First of all, if I look at it on the Devil's side, I don't understand what you're doing. Nobody understands why the Devils were such in a hurry to get Jake Allen. You're not going anywhere this year. Why are you making this trade? We don't understand it. It makes no sense. So, but you know what? We're not there to talk on behalf of the Devils. That they're going, we don't know what direction that they're doing. So
I have a theory, by the way. Aside.
Okay, tell me the theory after.
Okay.
Now so let's go back to the Canadian. Yeah. I want to go back to the Canadian now.
Yeah.
So just so you know, okay, just so people understand, it's not a magical trick that Kent Hughes has done. Jake Allen in the NHL is at best a good backup. At $2 million, because paying 50% of the salary, that's how much backup in the NHL makes. So of course, if Montreal Canadian swallowed up half his contract, he's tradable. Half his contract is tradable. What Montreal tried to do this year is to make him play enough games to see if he'd be good enough so we could pass him on into another team without keeping any money, without taking any of his contract. That's what the team tried to do. He didn't do good enough that we had no choice to take half his contract, but don't take me wrong, so you understand the logistic.
Yeah.
This limits the Canadian. If they want to do that to somebody else, that they can't. It's locked in. It's locked up because of Jake Allen. So, okay, he's gone. But you know what? If you have other opportunities like this, that sometimes you couldn't have done it with a bigger contract, with a bigger player to get a bigger return. But anyway, you didn't. You wanted to unload him because, you know, all year long you play with three goalies. The plan to get something in return for him didn't happen because he wasn't playing good enough. But don't take it as a steal, the fact that we did that, because Montreal is swallowing half the contract to get him traded. But tell me your theory as why would the Devil do something like that? I don't understand it.
Okay. So I just bought everything you just said. Okay. Here's my theory. And this is just a guess. I have no information whatsoever on this, right? My theory
I'll tell you if it makes sense.
They have a couple of young goalies in the organization. They want to have the young goalies mentored. And I believe they probably asked Marty Brodeur for his opinion on this. He was the assistant general manager of the St. Louis Blues under Doug Armstrong when Jake Allen was a goalie on that team. That's the way I think it went down. Another reason why I think they pulled the trigger is because they're probably saying, we're going to end up unloading this guy next year. And next year, we believe we might be able to get a third-round pick back. The only logic I have, I don't even know if it's logic, but it's my only explanation. What do you think?
Well, Tony, to get a guy because you hope to get your pick back next year, it's like, are you doing like charity in the NHL? Are you like, is that a charity thing that we're helping out a team? So you hope
If you can give up a pick, use a player for a year, and then 1 year from now end up getting that same pick back, that's good asset management. If you end up getting a better pick, it's even better asset management. I don't think they're going to do that.
What is the hurry to do so? What is the hurry to go and get Jake Allen? Why hurrying paying a goalie
that
kind of money? If you want a backup goalie, you know, why you absolutely want Jake Allen? You know, it's a backup goalie in the NHL. It's something that you could find anywhere. So what was the rush to do it right now at the deadline? Every team is unloading at the deadline. They were unloading, obviously, with Toffoli, and now they got Jake Allen.
That was weird. You trade Toffoli, so you're saying, okay, you know what? It's not going to happen this year. And then you go out and you add a veteran goaltender. I have to admit, George, I know it's crazy. It almost looks like a favor. It almost seems like a favor. Like only they know. Like, but that's what it looks like.
But again, it's a favor. But at the same time, don't forget, Montreal is keeping half the salary. So now they block themselves that option. You know, they didn't upload him for free. Half the salary they had to do. You're not going to get it. And by the way, it's not going to turn into a second pick. It'll be a third pick.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I have a question for you, okay? Why didn't the Oilers go after David Savard? You're very close to the Oilers. I like their team, but I look at what Colorado did. I look at what Dallas did. I look at what Winnipeg did. I look at what Vegas did. And you know what? I can't say with certainty that Edmonton's going to pass. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure neither of those teams would want to play Edmonton. I'm sure Edmonton would be really, really tough for them. They're not going to be a walk in the park. But this team, the Edmonton Oilers, I take a look at them. My opinion, okay? I take a look at them and I say, okay, very deep at center, Connor McDavid, Draisaitl, center, can play wing. Nugent Hopkins, center, can play wing. Henrique can do the exact same thing. You got Hyman on the wing. You got Kane on the wing. They're going to be able to score goals. Fogel will end up playing a third line and whatever. He'll be able to contribute. I see what they have going on defense. They got Darnell Nurse on defense. All right, okay. He's okay. They got a couple of defensemen. But then I take a look at their defense, George, okay? I love Vinny Desharnais. I love him. He's a great guy. He's been through a lot. It's an amazing story, and he's been on this podcast before, okay? Yeah. Having said that, don't you think the Oilers would have been much better if a guy like Vinny Desharnais, Evan Bouchard, by the way, and Matthias Ekholm in their first pair, I love it. I got no problem with that. Don't you think the Oilers would have been much better if a Vinny Desharnais would have been on their third pairing at right D, and there would have been another defenseman on the second pairing at right D? Basically, why didn't the Oilers go after David Savard?
I don't know, Tony. Colorado's scaring me, man. Colorado and Vegas are scaring me. what they had into the squad. Colorado is looking very, very serious. They were able to unload Johansson, that didn't work out this year, and get Mittelstadt. Are you kidding me? And the D-Corp, what they've done to this team, the player they had in, and Dominic Duhem, like this guy, physical Brandon guy Duhem. In the fourth line, Brandon Duhem.
I love Brandon him. Duhem, Brandon energy player. In the fourth love line. Him.
Oh, my God.
I that, love him.
And Vegas? You know Stone is coming to, back to the playoff. He's going to do the Kucherov, right? And then to have Hurdle, Hanifin, are you kidding me? Manta?
Yeah.
Like, that has a breakout year this year because he's playing for a contract. But still, these two teams are scaring me, Tony, because if I look at the goalies, like, it's a Vegas and a D-man corp. Colorado don't have a goalie, but their six D-men for Edmonton is going to be tough. You know, I'm always going to pull for the Oilers, but I'm not going to lie that without a goalie and a defenseman, it's going to be tougher. Offensively, they're going to have to do it, but it's going to be tough. Because, you know, Adam Lind is an unbelievable goalie. He showed it, and that guy could have been the MVP the last cup. And Colorado has the best 6D corp.
So what would you have given up? You're the Edmonton Oilers. What would you have given up for David Savard?
Cody Ceci, Montreal could have, you know, not that they're interested, but you have to unload him because he's trapped for cash. So, man, a first pick is a lot. It's a lot to give a first pick for David Savard, though. And I understand why team, we're looking to do it. Maybe, you know, okay, tell me if Montreal would have said yes, okay? Because I'm going to be conservative here. Cody Ceci and Raphael Lavoie.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't know if Lavoie is their kind of prospect, and I don't think they have much interest in Cody Ceci.
Cody Ceci and Xavier Bourgault. And Xavier Bourgault.
Oh, yeah. Bourgault, I think they would take. But I'm going to ask you this, okay? I'm going to ask you this. George Larac, are you convinced that Leon Draisaitl, whose 8-year contract that he had signed back in 2017 at $8.5 million per year cap hit, are you convinced that next year he will re-sign an extension with the Edmonton Oilers? Are you convinced?
It depends what happened in the playoff this year. If it's a disaster this year in the playoff, yes. If they do really good, they come close, I think he'll stay. This year is going to be really
The reason why I asked you, you might have to get rid of Draisaitl next year. If you do, this is your year that you have to be the most aggressive that you ever have been.
You can't get rid of Draisaitl. This team is going to, man, it's going to be a step way back if they do so. You can't. You know, your team is built around Draisaitl and McDavid, the two best center in the NHL. You can't. If Draisaitl is gone, good luck resigning McDavid. So, right. No way. You need to keep these two guys.
Let's bring up all the trades, and we're going to go through them very, very quick, okay? The trades that were done today, that is, on NHL trade deadline day, March 8th. Okay. Carolina acquires Kuznetsov from the Capitals for a third-round pick in 2025. To tell you the truth, I have no idea why they would want to do that. We all know what he's going through. It could really backfire in terms of the core that they have there. Next, okay. Columbus acquires Malcolm Subban. All right, okay, from the St. Louis Blues for future considerations. Florida Panthers acquire Kyle Okposo. I'm going to go through some of the biggies, okay? Some of the biggies, and I'm going to skim through them.
But hold on. What do we comment on the big ones? Like, let's say Kuznetsov. Why don't we say something about it?
Okay, Kuznetsov, go.
You know, now we've just found out that, for people that didn't know, the Carolina Hurricanes lost faith in KK. He was supposed to be the second-line center, and he's not. Jordan Staal is our third-line center, and KK is the fourth. They needed a second one. Kuznetsov because they're retaining 50% of his contract. So at 3.9, it's a gamble that they're taking to see if he's going to figure it out this year, to see how good it could be for them. Because if Kuznetsov, you know, is motivated and to show everyone that he's not done, he could really help out the Carolina Hurricanes. So I like this gamble. Yeah. 3.9, they keep you 50% of the salary. If it doesn't work out, they'll buy him out this summer. But if it does, at second light center with that team that needed it one badly, that had it Genzel to their team, I like this. I like the chance that they're just taking. They just got. That could be a really good gamble, Tony.
Yeah, well, if I was them, I would have gone for Henrique the way the Edmonton Oilers did. Okay, but anyway, he was gone, so I get that. Let's move on. The next big one I want to talk about is Winnipeg acquiring Tyler Toffoli from the Devils for a third-round pick in 2024 and a second-round pick in 2025. Here's a guy that's going to play in their top six. This is an interesting team that Winnipeg has put together this year.
You know, first of all, I remember when we did, everybody did the provision last year in terms of the season, who was going to finish where. We almost were laughing at Winnipeg. Because we're like, we thought they're going to trade guys and start over again. And when they re-signed Shifley and the goalie, we're like, what are they doing? You know, we never, after the trade from Dubois, also, how could you ever win a trade like that? And then they won that trade. The players they got in return made that team much better. No one saw Winnipeg, one of the best teams in the NHL. No one would have thought that it'd be buyers at the deadline. And you know what, Tony? With a hot goalie, Hellebuck could be the best goalie in the NHL. With a hot goalie, you never know what could happen in the playoff. And you know what? They had in some great talent to a young core of guys that are on there. You know, I would say, Tony, you know, we always talk about Alexander Barkov, how he's underrated in Florida. You know how many underrated forwards we have in Winnipeg? Like how many of them that we have, and they just play their game hard, and it's unreal. Man, this team could surprise us, I think. This team could do a lot of damage, man, this playoff.
I like
them. We never talk about them. We don't respect them.
Yeah.
I still don't see them go far away because they're not as sexy as Florida Panthers with the perfect team that they have. And you look at the team in the West. But you know what? Often when we disrespect a team, Tony, that's when sometimes they come and surprise us.
I like them, but I don't love them. That's where I stand. I will say this. That Sean Monahan deal proved to be a great deal. I think we also saw today that Kent Hughes got great value 5 weeks ago. A lot of people said, I don't know why he didn't wait until the deadline. I wasn't one of those, by the way, because of Monahan's injury history as well. You don't want to wait because then he gets hurt and you get stuck with pretty much nothing. But, you know, I they don't have a lot of guys that have had playoff success. They don't have had a lot of guys that have done well in the playoffs, not only put up points, but just played well. So I doubt that. I do like Shifley, Monahan, and Lowry as your top three centermen. Yes, Connor and Ehlers and Toffoli and Namestnikov on the wings. They're not too shabby. And, of course, also Connor Hellebuck in goal, Josh Morrissey on defense. They're a good team. There's no doubt about it. All right, okay, let's bring up some other deals. Other trades. All right, okay. Other biggies. Okay, you know what? This one here I thought was a little bit silly. I know Pat Maroon has won several Stanley Cups. Why would the Boston Bruins, other than that, acquire Pat Maroon, who's coming off of back surgery?
I don't know, Tony. You know, the thing is that I don't, with what Boston has done in the last couple of years, I don't know if I want to criticize them. You know, every year we think that Boston is going to be done. Boston's got to be built. Boston's going to miss the playoff. Boston loves Krejci and Bergeron. They have no more centers. And look, Tony, where they are again. Why are they always up in the mix? Why are they always there?
Because they got a great coach. They got a great goalie tandem. They got some good puck-moving defensemen. And they have an incredible goal scorer like Pasternak, a fantastic player by like Brad Marchand. But, George, they've overachieved. You think Montgomery's happy going into the playoffs with Zacha and Charlie Coyle as a centerman? They've overachieved, George.
No, they've overachieved. You know, maybe they have. But you know, how many teams in NHL would love to be in their position? So they had him marooned, okay? I understand that it's weird. I don't see how he fits on that team. But you know what? I'm not about to question their moves. Everything that they do works. Players that comes in find chemistry with the guys that are there, and they never cease to surprise us every year.
Going to be an interesting call by Jack Edwards if Pat Maroon scores a big goal in the playoffs. We'll see what he has to say about him then. All right, okay. Let's move on. Of course, we know there's a history there with Pat Maroon and Jack Edwards. At one point, he talked about him maybe having a couple too many pizzas, and then he had to apologize to him at one point, and Pat Maroon really didn't want to hear anything about it. So we see here on the chart on NHL.com, the Devils acquired Jake Allen from the Canadiens for a conditional third-round pick of 2025, like we talked about. Tampa Bay, you know, we figured they were going to go out and get a defenseman with Sergachev going down. They acquire Matt Dumba in a seventh-round pick in the 2025 NHL draft from Arizona for a fifth-round pick in 2027. So I like him. I think he's a good puck mover. I think he's a tough kid, too. I like that deal. Other than that?
Tony, they brought in toughness with Dumba and Anthony Duclair. Duclair could be feisty. He's fast. It's good acquisition. Like, Tampa is limited because they have no more picks, right? And they wanted to brought a bit of energy into this lineup that is getting old.
And they traded 8,000 draft picks for Tanner Janot the last time they made that deal, yeah?
And you know what? Dumba and Duclair is, you know, they're helping them making Tampa a team hard to play against in the best of seven. You know, Duclair, don't forget that before Duclair went to San Jose, he did a lot of great things with Florida. He helped them out big time before he got to San Jose. He could play in a playoff. And because of that, you know, a fast kid like this with Tampa speed and Dumba in there and stuff that brings the toughness. You know what, Tony? Again, you know, Tampa, they cruise in regular season and they win in the playoff. So it's a team that we could never take lightly because when they turn it on, you know, Vasilevsky hasn't been so good this year because he was back from injury. But you know what? In playoff, everything starts at zero.
And curious to see how Sergachev's a big loss, though.
Yeah, no, he is. But Vasilevsky could put a hat, like, could put a hat out of the box because he's that good if he wants to.
But I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Steven Stamkos, by the way, who's at the end of his contract here.
You can't resign him.
I don't think so. Not at that money. He is as good as he is on the decline. All right. By the way, I think I have an option for Tampa. I'll tell you in about a minute, okay? Go ahead. Next. And other than that, okay, the big one here out of all of them would be, of course, the Vegas Golden Knights acquiring Thomas Hertl, a third-round pick of the 2025 NHL draft and a third-round pick of the 2027 NHL draft from the San Jose Sharks for forward David Enstrom and a first-round pick in 2025. All right, okay. Hertl. This is what we can say. Hertl is hurt right now. Hertl has a big-time cap hit, okay? And, you know, obviously the Vegas Golden Knights are going to have to do some maneuvering. We know that Hertl right now will be on LTIR. Mark Stone is on LTIR. And so they're going to have about $17 million in LTIR, which is going to be activated and come off by the time the playoffs start. Now, I sent something to Sammy. I was forwarded this on social media. I don't know who it came from. So whoever it came from, all the credit to you. But look at this. Mark Stone. What a coincidence, George. Make it 3 years in a row that in February, Mark Stone goes on LTIR, and then in the middle of April, he's activated from LTIR 3 years in a row. And this is one of the big reasons why the Tampa Bay Lightning, or a big advantage they had in their cup final versus the Canadiens several years ago, of course, 3 years ago. And that was that once they got to the playoffs, their players came off of LTIR. And then all of a sudden, the salary cap doesn't count anymore. And they're actually about $17 or $18 million over the cap. It worked out for them. It worked out for Vegas last year, and who knows, it might work out for Vegas again this year. George, I love their team, man. I love their team.
Yeah, you know the thing with Vegas also that we have to admit, first of all, just so people know, to say that it's exactly like Tampa, we're hearing news that Stone might not be back until the second or third round of the playoff because his injury is pretty bad. So if it's the case, yes, we could say that it's maybe more legit than what Tampa has done. But one thing that Vegas has, though, that we don't have in Montreal and many other markets, is every player wants to play there. You know, the weather is great. You know, where the practice rink where they live, it's awesome. And not just that, Tony. People don't think about it. But when you decide an area where you want to play, a team that you want to play, you talk about it with your family. Hockey players spend half their life on the road. And, you know, whether you agree with it or not, your best half that you're with, you want to make her happy, make your family happy. Find a great spot for them to live while you're playing the game and you're going on the road. Great school in Vegas, great area, but Tony, not just that. If you look at Vegas in terms of what to do, if you're in Winnipeg, Tony, me and you were in Winnipeg and we're like, oh, Tony, what are we doing tonight? Watch a movie, go play bingo, like go walk in the park. Like if you're in Vegas and find things to do, what are you going to do? There's so many shows every night. There's so many things that you could do. There's so many events that are coming in. There's event coming to Vegas all the time. Your family want to come and visit, you know, and this come into account. You know, when you play in an area where everybody wants to be there, everybody wants to come, it makes it easier to attract free agent. So Vegas is in a beautiful position. They know that. And it's a market that a lot of people wants to be.
You're right about that, George. I'll keep you 1 minute more and then that's it. I'll let you go. But if you ever get traded, if anyone gets traded to Winnipeg, you bring your VCR and bring all your cassettes of Emmanuel 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I don't know where it ended. Okay. Very quickly on Armia, Dvorak, Savard, all at the end of their contracts next year. This time next year, are they all traded?
It depends what we're going to do this year. If Armia plays like he fit, like he's playing right now, but all year long, he definitely will. Because it's just that being sent out in the minors twice like he was, and now, you know, he doesn't want to be sent back again, so he's playing a bit better. We'll see. He's going to be able to keep it up and play better next year because he could be an asset to a team. He could shoot. He could skate. He has it all.
Yeah.
Dvorak, I don't know.
Yeah.
Dvorak is enigmatic. I'm not sure. But you know what? We'll see. That's the hope to get something in exchange. But Tony, what we worry about, what we want to see, is not really what these guys, whether they're going to be traded or not. What's going to determine the future of the Montreal Canadiens? It's this draft this year. Whatever Jeff Gordon can't use are going to do with all their picks and their prospect in the draft is going to determine if this rebuilding it works, going to be successful, or if it won't be. Pressure is going to be on them at the draft.
All right, the pressure starts at the draft. Last question. You think Ryan Reeves is going to challenge Arbor Jacki tomorrow night?
Oh, my God, they're going for sure. 100% they're going. Ryan Reeves talked
they're
so
going
much.
For after sure.
After the first game that he looked bad, Ryan Reeves looked bad, they are going for sure. The media all ask him about it. They're going to talk to Jacki about it. Jacki will be ready. And I predict that Jacki will send him straight to the minors after that fight.
Wow. So you really believe that Jacki has to answer the bell, even though Jacki did well?
Jacki is going to answer the bell for sure because that's how he is. You know, he brings that dynamic to this team. And by the way, Jacki is back. See how physical he's playing? See how intimidating he's playing?
Best hockey of his career. Best hockey of his career.
Unbelievable. He's in everyone's face, hand in his face everywhere. He's not letting anyone abusing this team. Reeves is coming in and he wants to take his belt, the sheriff is going to know. I'm the new sheriff in town. Stay back. Work your way up. He's going to beat him up, and after that, he's going to say, work your way up. Go beat Rempe if you want another shot at the title.
Marty St. Louis says only the media calls him the sheriff. Is that true, or do you think some of his teammates call him the sheriff too?
Everybody calls him like that. I don't know why he said that. You know, back in the day, we call him Guy Lafleur de Desmonts Blancs. You know, his nickname was Flower in the dressing room. The coach could have said, no, it's Flower. Flower and the Desmonts Blancs. So, you know, Jacki has a couple nicknames, pretty sure, in the dressing room. And everybody knows that he's the sheriff. We call him like that. So he knows he's the sheriff. We know he's the sheriff. You know he's the sheriff. He's even have his the burger sheriff in town. I wish it was a vegan burger.
You're right.
I wish it was a vegan burger, but still,
yeah,
he has his own, his own burger.
He is the sheriff. And for those who didn't know it, by the way, George's teammates used to call him Ron Jeremy. On that, I'll say goodnight. See you, George. Thanks for doing this. Say hello to your kids for me and have a good time in Edmonton. Thank you.
Say hi to the Tony Holt. Say hi to my kids. Look, Avery and Marcus are there. They're eating right now.
All right.
They're in the playoff right now, Tony. They're in the playoff. They won their first game in the playoff. They did really good. Avery's the next Matthias Ekholm in the NHL, and Marcus is the next Eric Lindros in the NHL. Watch this. Wow. I said it in the Sid podcast. I said it. One day you'll be talking to them in your podcast.
Your son is a big boy. How old is he again?
14, 6'4", 200 pounds.
14, 6'4", 200 pounds. Wow. And he must be so happy right now eating tofu and couscous.
No, actually, they're eating eggs right now.
Eggs are good. Eggs are protein. Well,
they're looking at me. They're looking at me eating tofu, but they're looking at me eating tofu. They're laughing at me, but it's okay. They can eat whatever they want, Tony. I don't force them. I don't force tofu on them. It's a decision that they make on their own. Live, let live. Live, let live.
I hear you. Thank you, George. Take care of yourself. Thank you very much. All right. On that note, let's bring in Stu Cowan from the Montreal Gazette and HockeyInsideOut.com. We continue to talk Habs. Stu, I saw that you were there waiting for a while. I appreciate you doing so, especially on this Friday night where you probably had better things to do. But I think it's very appropriate that you're here on a Friday night, a big night, NHL trade deadline day. I'm going to be honest with you, Stu. I'm not surprised. I thought this is the way it was going to go down. I didn't think David Savard was going to get traded today. I did think this morning when I woke up, I said, you know what? There's more of a market for Jake Allen right now today than there is in the summer. I thought Tanner Pearson was going to get traded too. Ultimately, he wasn't. Your thoughts?
Well, I wrote a couple of columns this week. One was on David Savard and why I didn't think Kent Hughes would trade him unless he got a first-round pick offer in return. He obviously didn't. And the other one I wrote was why now's the time to trade Jake Allen. Like, you move on from this three-goalie system. It backfired a little bit on Kent Hughes. Jake Allen didn't play great. I think one of the reasons he didn't play great is because he didn't get enough game action, didn't get enough practice action. You know, on the ice, there's two nets. You got three goalies. In Brossard, they have an extra rink, but it's you're still not practicing with your teammates. You're not even – there's games you're not even sitting on the bench with your teammates. You're not even a backup. It was an ugly situation. Wasn't good for any of the three goalies. It was time to move on. So I wrote, take the best offer you can get at the deadline and make the trade. And I guess that's the best offer that Kent Hughes got today. You had to eat half the contract, as George mentioned. But I think it was the smart move. You move forward. Montembeau's your number one. Caden Primo, I still think, has to prove he can be the backup. But he's shown enough this year to Kent Hughes that Kent Hughes believes he can be. And when I spoke with Primo a few weeks ago, he told me that Kent Hughes is one of his biggest supporters. So now we'll find out. Now Caden Primo is going to get a little bit more action. There's going to be a little bit more pressure on him with the two-goalie system, and we'll see if he can handle it.
You know, I don't know if you saw this, Stu, but probably not everyone did. But did you have a chance to hear Tom Fitzgerald, general manager of the New Jersey Devils, on how far back the talks have gone with Jake Allen and why the deal was made today? Did you have a chance to hear that?
I didn't hear that. No, I was in Brossard today with the team.
Okay, perfect. So I had a chance to actually come across it. Fitzgerald admitted that he's been talking to the Canadians about Allen for a while, but he wasn't able to make the move because Allen had the New Jersey Devils as a team on his no trade list. Mm-hmm. And that was removed only today.
Yeah.
Well, so now we know a little bit more. Like, we're all looking at this three goalie system and saying, what's Kent Hughes doing? We don't have all the information, but what time we end up getting it. And now we understand several reasons why the three goalie system. One, maybe it was keeping Montembeau in check, who was looking for a new contract, and maybe using it against him in contract negotiations. He ends up signing 3 years at $3.15 million, which is a great value for the Canadians, with all due respect.
Yeah.
And the second reason is, Kent Hughes was saying, based on the information they had, if Primo was going to go on waivers, he was going to get picked up. And the third was, they were going to try and get an asset for Jake Allen. It took some convincing to get him out of here, to get him traded. and he was able to do it. So today he took New Jersey off of that no trade. And so now we understand why everyone's saying, okay, move on, move on. But as I told the guys on television earlier today, and I know you'll agree with me, Stu, here, Kent Hughes is so smart. Mm-hmm. Because if all members of the media were going to be the GM of this team, they would have either, if we would listen to everybody in the media, they would have either put Primo on waivers and risk losing him, and you would have, or sent Jake Allen down to Laval, which he doesn't want to do because he wants to show that he extended him a couple of years ago. We treat our players well in Montreal. Didn't want to do that to him. Talked about him being a great mentor to the players. And wants Jake Allen, obviously, to talk highly of Montreal when he leaves so that he can be sort of an ambassador. Maybe one day play with the alumni, right, when his career is said and done. But some members of the media would have traded, you know, waived Allen, this, that, whatever, all that stuff. He got a third-round pick for him.
He did.
And that's why he's the GM of the Canadiens.
And with Allen not playing that well. And Allen, one of the reasons this three-goalie system sort of worked and why Montembeau played as well as he did in it is because of Jake Allen and just what a great teammate and great person he is and a mentor to both Caden Primo and Sam Montembeau. And, you know, with the Devils, as you say, we can't use, I've said this before, you can disagree with the moves he makes, but they make sense when you understand where he's coming from. And he explained that today. You know, he came into the season, Montembeau could have become an unrestricted free agent after this season and left. He was convinced, and Kent Hughes is pretty plugged in, he knew that another team was going to take Caden Primo if he put him on waivers. And he had Jake Allen. So the best situation for him, the safest situation, patient situation, we'll keep all three. We'll hope Jake Allen plays really well. And we'll trade him and maybe get more than a third-round pick. Allen didn't play great. At the end of the day, the third-round pick was the best offer he had. Jake Allen, it shows like how much he wanted to move on. Like he was fed up. You know, private, like to the media, to us, he said all the right things. I'm sure he went home to his wife. He was like, this is crazy. Like, I can't keep going like this. I'm too old. I can't play one game every 2 weeks. I need to go somewhere. And that's why he took New Jersey off the list.
Yeah.
So Kent Hughes's patience paid off in that he did agree to take the name off. Listen, as I said, I would have been shocked if he didn't trade Jake Allen today. I think he realized, he had said at his midseason news conference he was willing to go until the end of the year. Wasn't good for anybody. And Jake Allen, the other thing that Kent Hughes does, he treats his players with respect. And Jake Allen deserved that respect, the same way Sean Monahan did, the same way David Savard did. And he treats people properly, and that's going to help the Canadiens moving forward.
And Stu, one of the comments you made about 3 or 4 minutes ago was you don't have to agree with everything that Kent Hughes makes or does, or you know, all the moves that he makes, but you can understand the logic behind it. Yeah. One of the moves that, you know, most members of the media seem to think, hey, Kent Hughes has done pretty much everything pretty good, but probably giving Jake Allen that contract 2 years and the money that he gave him was a mistake. But you know what? You can make a counter-argument that it probably wasn't, because so what? He gives Jake Allen $3.875 million, right?
Yeah.
They're in a rebuild. They don't like – what do they have to do? Were they going to use that money to sign a free agent? And in the end, he got Primo mentored. He got Montembeau at less money because it was a three-goalie system. And he got a third-round pick for Allen. And so now – you know, he's going to be paying half the salary for, you know, the rest of this year and next year. But once again, he gets that third round pick, which you could either end up dropping. By the way, Jacob Fowler was a third round pick, not too shabby. No. And he might end up taking that pick and using it to go out and get someone else. So, you know, I can understand if you think that was a bad move by Kent Hughes to sign Jake Allen and give him that money. But in the end, you know, all depending on which way you look at it, you can make the arguments that it wasn't that bad after all.
Look at it this way, Tony. He didn't have a number one goalie at the time, right? I mean, when Jake Allen came to the Canes, he was signed to play 25 games a year as Carey Price's backup, 25, 30 games. That's what he was brought in. Then Carey Price's career ends. Now what do you do? Sam Montembeau is a guy you claimed on waivers. He's not like your number one guy, right, at that point. You have to have a number one goal. You're in a rebuild.
Yeah. Mark Bergevin claimed on waivers.
You got a veteran goalie in Jake Allen, who was a fantastic teammate, wonderful in the room. His fingerprints will be on this team for a long time moving forward, even though he won't be here. As he said, you know, he said several times that he hopes when he's retired, sitting on his couch, he wants to watch the Canadiens win a Stanley Cup with the guys that he was a part of the beginning of this rebuild. Yeah. So, yeah, he needed to have a number one goalie, and Jake Allen wasn't that expensive at that time for a number one. Solid goalie, not a top number one goalie at that time in his career, but he was a guy that could hold the number one role until he found somebody else. And then now Sam Montembeau is that somebody else. And they're hoping Caden Primo is the backup, at least until Jacob Fowler is ready to make it to the NHL. So there's the two between Montembeau and Primo, the total cap hit is $4.1 million or something next year. That's not bad on a rebuilding team.
A shout out to two of our sponsors right now. The Sick Podcast is brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group, a leading full service logistics provider serving all of North America. They are driven to be different. And also we've partnered with, and we're brought to you by Labitte TB, brewed in Quebec and a winner of a dozen international awards. Labitte TB offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. Labitte TB, embrace your true nature. We hope you're enjoying the podcast right now. The Sick Podcast goes weeknights at 10 p.m. You can follow us live on Twitter, live on Facebook, live on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really would appreciate it. Give us a like. We'd appreciate that. Comment Sick right now, S-I-C-K, S-I-C-K. And if you really want to make me and Aniello smile, go to Apple Reviews and leave us a 5-star review, because when we get 1 and 2 and 3 stars, it kind of ruins our day. So please, a 5-star review would be very nice. Okay, let's hear from Kent Hughes, who spoke with members of the media earlier today, right before 3:30 p.m. or so, and he talked about the Allen experience.
Word on Jake Allen in English. What did you think of his time here, and what went into the decision to trade him?
Jake, we traded two really, really good human beings, two great professionals. I'm sure all of you that are around the team on a consistent basis know that. I mean, Jake has been so professional from the time that I got here, and his efforts and concerns weren't just around Jake Allen and his performance in net. It's like he's taken ownership of this team and trying to help us put it in the right direction for what we want to accomplish, knowing that he wouldn't be here for it, whether we kept him for the remainder of his contract or not. So I can't say enough good things about Jake. He was great in net for us. He was great in the locker room. He was a great leader, and he was a great member of the community, and he's going to be missed, as was Sean.
Your thoughts, Stu?
Exactly. As someone who is around the team on a regular basis, I can say the exact same thing. Class act. Sean Monahan, class act. David Savard, class act. One of the keys to this rebuild with so many young players is that they've surrounded them with veterans like that. You were talking earlier about how Arbor Jacka is playing some of his best hockey. Well, it's not a coincidence that he's played the last 8 games with David Savard. And I asked Arbor about it just before they left on the road trip, and he said anybody will look good playing with David Savard. He talked about how he calms Arbor down. You were talking about how Arbor's playing physical, but walking that line, David Savard has a lot to do with that. And Arbor was saying, I'll make a mistake. I'll go to the bench. He's like having another coach. Don't worry about it. We got 40 minutes left. Get it out of your head. Let's go. Let's move forward. He did the same thing with Caden Gooley last year when Caden Gooley broke into the NHL. You could tell Arbor's confidence was a little fragile when he came back from Laval. It's not now. And David Savard's done a great job of building that up. And that's what Kent Hughes said today. That's one of the big reasons why they kept David Savard. They figured he's more valuable to this team right now in the mentorship role he can play with the young defense and moving forward than the value of what he might have got for a trade today. And if what he gets next year at the trade deadline is less, well, then you take that because you're getting another year of David Savard mentoring these young defensemen. As I wrote in a column earlier this week too, Lane Hudson's going to come up probably and make his NHL debut before this season's over, after his NHL season's over. What better partner to put him with to get his feet wet in the NHL than David Savard?
By one of my favorite people in the Montreal media, he was also asked about patience.
I've been very patient since you took this job. Patient this year with the 3 goalies, David Savard. How difficult is it for you to remain patient, and why should Habs fans who maybe aren't patient be happy that you are?
I can't answer for the Habs fans, but I think we're trying to be, I don't know if patience is the word, but we're trying to make decisions for the right reasons. And in order to do that, if that requires patience, We're trying to do it. Listen, I look forward to the day that we're buying, not selling. Like, I'm as competitive as the next person. I want to feel the highs and lows of winning and losing that come when you're expected to compete for a Stanley Cup. So the faster that it can happen, the better off it is. I'd like to be around for it. But I don't want to do it at the expense of doing it the right way. And I think that's how we all feel as a management group and as an organization.
If your plan goes the way you hope it does, how far away do you think you are from being buyers?
Ben, I mean, we've been, I guess we've been buyers to a certain degree at the drafts and been sellers at the trade deadline. So if we see an opportunity again at the draft, we'll look to continue that path. And then, you know, the being a buyer at the trade deadline really depends on the performance on the ice. I don't know if I can give you that answer right now.
I like that question.
You know what I like best about
that? How happy should people be who aren't patient that you are patient?
You know what I like best about that answer, Tony? And it says a lot about Ken Hughes when he said, I hope to be around when we're contending for a cup. He realizes that this rebuild might not work and he might get fired, and he will get fired if it doesn't work. But he knows what he wants to do. He has a plan in place and he's sticking to it. He doesn't need this job. He's not doing this job scared of getting fired. And I think that is huge when you're a rebuilding process. He's not afraid. He's going to make the decisions he thinks are right. You know, when he took this job, his father thought he was nuts. Like, what are you doing leaving a lucrative player agent business? Yeah. Got a beautiful house in the suburbs of Boston. You're a member of two gorgeous golf courses. You make a lot of money. You can go out with your wife for dinner. Nobody knows who you are. Why are you giving that up?
And you make a lot of money. You have a lot of money.
You have a lot of money. I asked him that question when I had a one-on-one after he took the job, and he said, it's a challenge, and I like challenges. And he said the only two teams he would even thought about doing it was Montreal and Boston. And the first time Jeff Gorton called him about the job in Montreal, he hung up and said, I'm not interested. So when you have a GM who's not scared, who's not making every job like, oh, my God, I might get fired if this doesn't work. He has his plan. He's going to do it. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't work, they're going to fire him and they'll bring in somebody else. But he has a plan. And that's, you know, Mark Bergevin, it was always like plugging a hole here, plugging a hole there. They got guys in place now. They have a plan. They're all on the same page. Marty St. Louis, the same thing. Marty St. Louis doesn't need this job as a coach. But they're passionate about what they do. They have a plan. And, man, if they could turn it around here and turn this team into a Stanley Cup contender and never win a Stanley Cup. Now, there might be statues of these guys outside the Bell Center. But I just think it's really – you're in a good position when you have a GM who's not scared, who's confident and is doing the job he does, and also realizes, hey, it might not work. There's 32 teams in the NHL. There's one champion at the end of the year.
You know, every time he talks – I have a lot of admiration for this guy. You're right. And you talked about his plan. And you also talked about there are fans who aren't very patient. I'm going to take it a step further. There's members of the media who aren't very patient. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to drill it into their heads, because they don't seem to understand, some of them, that Kent Hughes has a plan. You can yell and bark all you want. You're not going to change his plan.
No,
you could put pressure on him to maybe trade David Savard and he won't, or not trade David Savard and he will. Like, his plan when he acquired Monahan was to get the first round pick. Yeah. And his plan, regardless of how Monahan played, was to end up trading Monahan and to try and get a number one pick. And he waited for the moment where he could do it, and he did it. So, you know, certain fans and certain members have to realize that in the end, like you said, what he's trying to do, it might not work. But they sat down, him and Gorton. They have a plan. They're executing on it. They're executing on a plan that they believe will give them the best chance of delivering a Stanley Cup, or at the very least being extremely competitive for many, many, many years. And if it works, fantastic. They were right. And if it doesn't, well, we tried our best.
Well, he said today, he was asked basically if he had waited on Monahan, maybe would he have gotten more? And he said, well, I set a price. It was a first-round pick. I got my price, and I took it. Could I have gotten more? Maybe. Maybe not. But he had set his price. He had a plan, and he got it. Same with David Savard. He had set a price, what he wanted for David Savard. It was probably a first-round pick. He didn't get it, so he didn't make the trade. So he's confident. He's smart and he's confident. That's a really good combination to have when you're running any business, whether it's a hockey team or a podcast or a newspaper or anything. When you're smart and you're confident, that's two good things to have.
All right. Okay. The timing of the Monahan deal. This is him.
Prospects, like you said, you took the deal that was on the table for Monahan at the time, the value that you were hoping to get back for the player. When you see the way the market shifted over the last week, did it reinforce to you the timing of making that move?
You know what? To be perfectly honest, I feel like you make decisions at a time with the information you have at that time. I mean, sometimes we're going to be more right and sometimes we're going to be a little more wrong. I don't really I try to stay with the facts we were dealing with at the time and that we made decisions and not look in the rearview mirror and worry about whether we did it right or we did it wrong. So would we have done better or worse for Sean if we waited? I don't know. I don't know.
Spoken like a confident guy. He knew what he wanted. He got it and move on.
Okay. I think everyone realized that now the timing of the Monahan trade, he ended up making the good trade at the time. He was asked about, the fact that he ended up keeping Savard, keeping Armia, not trading them. Let's hear from Kent Hughes.
In relation to timing, we're talking about it. A lot of people will look at your decision to keep David Savard or keep a Yoel Armia with 1 year left on their contracts as maybe the timing will be better down the line, or maybe it was the best time right now. What, in your view, is the value those players can continue to provide to your team versus what may have happened today?
I guess I look at it like this. I mean, we talk about this balance, or not everything that we do can be strictly based on maximizing asset value. Right. So if we look at every player individually and say, if I trade him at this point in time, we get the best return for that player. We have to balance that with other things like what we're trying to do. Listen, I think if we're efficient in terms of how we manage our assets, we put ourselves in a better position to build a hockey team. But ultimately, we're trying to build a hockey team. And if a player has value to us in terms of what we're trying to build by being physically present and part of our organization, then that's going to trump, trading that player at a later point for something a little bit inferior because there's value in his time with us that we're going to carry beyond his time with us. And that's certainly something that we were considering in the case of David.
Stu Cowan? Yeah.
Pretty smart.
Yeah, well, it's the value. As you mentioned at the end, you mentioned Savard. There's a value. I think if he had got some kind of an offer for Yoel Armia, he would have traded him.
Yes, me too, yeah.
He was asked the question today if the Army has exceeded his expectations. And I have the quote in front of me here. He said, "I wouldn't say he's exceeded them because you always see there's a lot there. He's a very talented hockey player." So it's sort of, it's Yoel Armia is who he is, right? I mean,
yes. There's a reason and Josh Anderson is who he is.
And David Savard is who he is in a good way.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that's why when I'm talking about, like, David Savard is going to have a very positive impact on this team moving forward. Yoel Armia, maybe not. Like, I'm sure if he had any kind of a decent offer for Yoel Armia today, he would have taken it.
Yeah. All right. Okay. What does he want to see from the team?
Okay, Kevin. I'm just curious, as you went into this year in terms of what would have been kind of ideally on the checklist of things you want to see from your team. I know there's still games to go, but what's been most encouraging that you've kind of taken out of the way the team has progressed this year in this kind of patient path that you've been on?
I think we've always talked about, in general terms, seeing progression on both an individual and a collective level. And we understand that both individually and collectively, that's not a linear path, right? With young hockey players, consistency is always one of the last things to come. Learning how to do it night in, night out, learning how to do it under less than ideal, fatigue, travel, whatever that may be. But we've seen, I feel like we're, especially now, we're starting, we've seen Slav, have a nice run, slow a little bit. And I think all those things are natural. You start to have success as a young hockey player. And then you have a dip, and it may be for a variety of reasons, including getting away from what led you there in the first place. And that's why, in large part, it's not just our coaching staff, but players like David Savard that are so helpful to our young team as a whole, and particularly our young defensemen, and just trying to keep them on the right path. It may be technically what they're doing as hockey players. It may very well be mentally. Like, you hear a lot, like, park your mistake. We got 40 minutes left to play. Don't worry about it. Those things are pretty meaningful to a young defenseman when you think about you're playing in front of 19,000 people and all the pressure until you're used to it. So I think we've seen growth individually in our guys. There have been ups and downs, whether it's Laff or Arbor or any of the other guys. But I think by and large we're seeing a progression, and it's starting to help us form a view of what our team could look like.
There you go. Really putting things in context. They talking about the young defenseman and playing in front of 19,000 and...
Yeah, that was sort of a reference, I think, to what David Savard playing with Arbor Jack, and Arbor Jack telling me about him, talking to him on the bench. The other thing Hughes talked about is just the toughest thing for a young player is consistency. It really is. It's the last thing to come. And we see it with Juraj Slafkovský. I mean, he had that little stretch there where he looked great. He's had other stretches where he hasn't looked good at all. And, when he's going great, you'll hear Habs fans say, yeah, they made the right pick, and he's the best. And then when he's not doing so well, he's terrible, or it's like, we're 2-3 years away from knowing if they made the right pick with that number one pick, right? With Slafkovský, we see the flashes of what he could be, but you also see periods when he's not very good. So when he gets to the point when he's consistent, it'll be another couple of years down the road, and that's when we'll be able to determine for sure if they made the right pick. But they got a lot of guys in that 22-23 age group, Alex Newhook, Kirby Dach, all these guys, and consistency's the hardest part. But because he's got all these guys in the same age group, that consistency should come around the same time with them all, right? That's what they're building for in this rebuild, to have these guys go through their growing pains now together without the pressure of having to win. And it takes time. And as you're saying, patience. It's a rebuild. This is year two of a full rebuild, and they've had huge injuries. They lost Kirby Dach. They lost Alex Newhook to throw wrenches into it. They're a couple of more years away. I agree with what George said. What happens at this year's draft is going to be huge moving forward. I mean, I'm sure Kent Hughes is going to package that second first round draft pick he has. Jordan Harris's name has been put out there. He'll throw in a couple of younger defensemen. As he mentioned today, he says, we've been sellers at the trade deadline, but buyers at the draft. And that's exactly what they have been. When they got Newhook, they got Kirby Dach, and I imagine they'll do the same again this year. But it's going to take time. These guys, being consistent, and they've said right from day one, they want to have a team that's consistently in the playoffs, consistently competing for a Stanley Cup, like the Boston Bruins, like the Tampa Bay Lightning have done. But it's going to take time to get to that point. And a lot of Canadiens fans aren't patient while this is happening. As you said, a lot of media members aren't patient either. But Kent Hughes doesn't care. He's got his plan, and he's going to stick to it. And like I said earlier, it's either going to work or it's not going to work.
I'm taking a look at the Florida Panthers, Stu, because you talked about, whether the Canadiens, when it's going to be their turn. Barkov is signed after this year. What is he? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think it's 5 years or so. No, actually even more than that. He's UFA at the end of 29-30. So he's signed long-term. Same thing for Matthew Tkachuk. He signed until the end of 29-30. Carter Verhaeghe is signed all of next season. Then he's a UFA. Sam Bennett is signed all of next season. Then he's a UFA. Sam Reinhart is a UFA at the end of this season. That's a big one. You can't afford to lose a guy like Reinhart. Brandon Montour at the end of this season, he's UFA. If you can get these guys re-signed, Brandon Montour and Sam Reinhart, that Florida team is going to be a team in the Canadiens division that's going to be pretty dangerous for many, many years to come, right? They're really good. But, Stu, I'm starting to feel a lot of teams starting to go down. I'm sure Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon, Marty St. Louis, they see the same thing. Pittsburgh is on the way down, Stu.
Oh, yeah.
Washington is on the way down. The Tampa Bay Lightning are not going to be as good as they have been over the last couple of years. I think there's a couple of years here, and then it's going to be going down after that.
That's where sports go. You rebuild, you build up. Look at Chicago. They were horrible. They built up. They won a couple of cups, and then they went down again.
And by the way, Stu, I'm you know what? I'm wrong. And when every now and then, and when I am, everyone reminds me. But when the Pittsburgh Penguins were renewing all these guys and giving them contracts a couple of years ago, I said this is the most stupidest move they've ever made. Friends is friends, business is business. It's time to move on.
And age is age.
The Penguins were bad, and they ended up doing well in the lottery as well, and they ended up drafting Marc-Andre Fleury at one and Jordan Staal at two and Malkin at two, and they got lucky by winning the lottery with Crosby. What did they do? They went out and they executed. They won three Stanley Cups. They had their run. At one point, when you see their age and you see their contracts and you see where they're at, where you're at as an organization, you have to move them as much as it hurts you.
Yep.
The first guy you got to sit down is you got to sit down with Sid. Sid, we love you. You'll be an ambassador of this team for life. But you know what? We set out to do what we wanted to do. We got it done, and we're going to end up rebuilding. So out of, respect for you, we want to let you know, because we'll give you the opportunity to move on, and we'll try and send you wherever you want to go, because we're going to rebuild, and it wouldn't be fair to you. And if he wants to stick around, just him, and say, you know what, I'll be here for the rebuild because I want to retire a Pittsburgh Penguin, and that's just the way I want it, so be it. But Malkin and Letang, at the very least, they had to rebuild, and they got it wrong.
Yeah.
Well, and Ron Hextall got it wrong, and Dubas comes in, and he acquires Carlson, and he got it wrong too.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons I really admire Julian Brisebois as a GM. You and George were talking earlier about Steven Stamkos. Like, you can't re-sign him. Like, it's the feel-good thing to keep him there, right? He's the face of the franchise, a key player in all the Stanley Cups and that. But he's gotten old, and it's time to move on. And Julian Brisebois realizes that. And that's why, you know, Steven Stamkos was upset at the beginning of the season. He wanted a contract extension. And Julian Brisebois said, I'm not in a position now to do it. A difficult decision to make, but that's why GMs, that's part of their job. You need to make tough decisions. Now, we see it right here with Brendan Gallagher. I mean, Brendan Gallagher has earned every penny he's ever made with the Canadian, but that contract was a mistake. It was time to move on. It was time to bring in younger blood. And that's the key to keeping teams like with the Boston Bruins and teams like that. You got to keep turning things around, you know. Bergeron retires, the Bruins keep rolling along. You got to have that balance of young blood coming up to replace the old blood and move out the old blood and get something for it if you can. You know, and with Steven Stamkos, a perfect example of a guy who is on the downside of his career now. And to re-sign him, it wouldn't be cheap, and it doesn't make much sense.
So I thought about something today. You ready for this? Tell me what you think. Steven Stamkos makes $8.5 million a year. He's 34 years old. He's in the last year of his contract. We're hearing that he wants big money, and we're hearing that he wants a lot of years. And if that's the case, we both believe that Tampa will let him walk.
Yep.
When Vegas signed, or when Vegas acquired earlier today, Thomas Hertl, who's going to make $8.1 million for many years, you know, it's the first thing that came to my mind besides the fact these guys did it again, and these guys are circumventing the cap again, and these guys are going to be really good again, and they're probably going to be a Stanley Cup favorite. The first thing that came to my mind besides all of that was Jonathan Marchessault is at the last year of his contract. You know what? They're not going to bring him back.
Yeah.
And Marchessault used to be a Tampa Bay Lightning. He's 1 year younger than Steven Stamkos. His numbers right now are very similar to Steven Stamkos' numbers this season. And he's making $5 million this year. Once again, he was in Tampa for about a season or so, and then went to Florida Panthers after that, and then from there went to the Vegas Golden Knights. I wouldn't be, and Julian Brisebois loves his good as Chenu.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they replace Steven Stamkos by a Jonathan Marchessault who's going to cost half the price.
Yeah, it's a good point. Good possibility. And as you mentioned, this Vegas, this LTIR thing. What a joke. Eh? How the salary cap counts for a meaningless game in February, but in the playoffs it doesn't.
Like it's the only league.
It makes absolutely no sense how this everything in the NHL revolves around the salary cap. Everything except the playoff. Yeah. The most important
time of the year. League.
It's crazy.
It's part of me, Stu. It's the only league I was saying, and part of me, it's the only league where some teams and some GMs are actually smarter than the entire league, the commissioner, the you know, his assistant, and the rules and regulations. It's they beat the system.
Well, and
Tampa Bay beat the system, and now Vegas beat it too.
Bettman has lockouts in that to control the GMs, right? to put handcuffs on them for what they can do, and then they find ways to work around it. But it's just, it's ridiculous that, you know, using $17 million over the cap when the playoffs start. And it's absolutely ridiculous. It's a lot of things that happen in the NHL that are ridiculous, and this is right near, if not at the top of the list.
So after everything we just said, and patience is the key, and they're sticking to the plan, I just told you that Jonathan Marchessault is going to be a UFA at the end of the year, and I believe that he'll probably end up in Tampa for half the money that Stamkos was getting or would want, at the same production, 1 year younger, and they'll be very happy.
Yeah.
But you know what's going to happen in this market, right? The second that Vegas walks away from Jonathan Marchessault, there's going to be a couple of people in this market who are going to want the Canadiens to open up the bank for Jonathan Marchessault, even though the Canadiens are in a rebuild, and they're going to say that they have to go get Marchessault, and then they got to go get somebody. By the way, they've stopped those that we're talking. They've stopped talking about Pierre-Luc Dubois. They've stopped now. It's radio silence, and it's like they never even brought up. Did you see this today? The Boston Globe, in ending, the Boston Globe had a story that they were hearing that there was talks between the Kings and the Bruins with Pierre-Luc Dubois going from L.A. to Boston and goalie Linus Ullmark going from Boston to L.A. Later in the day, Kevin Weeks told ESPN, and Kevin Weeks is extremely connected, he told ESPN that there was a Boston, there was a Linus Ullmark was going to get traded, but for geographic reasons, he nixed the deal because he did not want to go play out west. And then Frank Saravalli, who's also very connected, he reported that a deal did not go through between Boston and Los Angeles. So wouldn't that be something? But I think it's safe to say Los Angeles is regretting that Pierre-Luc Dubois deal already, that contract. Their fan base is like just absolutely livid because the guy gives you like 60% of what he has. Sometimes that, not even.
That shift he had in Columbus at the end, Tony, where he went out, like, I don't give a crap shift.
Yeah.
To me, that should have sent up red flags to every GM in the league. To do that to your teammates, never mind you're upset with manager, you're upset with the coach, whatever, but to go on the ice like that in the NHL and just go out for a skate and just showing everybody, like, I don't give a crap with the money these guys are making, and to disrespect the game and disrespect your teammates like that, that should have been, that says, to me, that said just about everything I need to know about his character.
And to disrespect the fans who are paying your salary.
Fans who, you took your kid there and you paid $300 a ticket, and this guy is out there doing that. To me, it just, it said everything about his character to do that as a professional.
But listen, he's from here, and some will go to his house for a barbecue and some will play a round of golf with him. So you might as well just give up everything to try and get him, because if they acquire him, all of a sudden you've just, you know what? There's an extra source in the room. It's unbelievable the way
he has a lack of personal pride, a lack of respect for the game, a lack of respect for your teammates, and the organization that's paying you a lot of money.
And it's too bad because, listen, I'm sure he's a decent guy and he's got all the skills in the world. And the Canadians, when it was his draft year, they were extremely high on him, eh? They were extremely high on him. And as a matter of fact, the Montreal Canadiens wanted to trade PK Subban to the Edmonton Oilers to try and get, among other things, that, what was it, the fourth pick in the draft that Edmonton had.
Yeah.
Which in the end, Pierre-Luc Dubois ended up going third.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah, it was Matthews, Laney, and then Dubois.
Yeah, so that deal fell through. Stu, I'm sure it was a long day for you, so I want to thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend. Thank you for giving me your time on this very important NHL trade deadline day. I know it means a lot to the listeners and the viewers. Thanks again.
My pleasure, Tony. Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. Light up your Monday nights at Playground with their electrifying musical Monday karaoke nights. Step into the spotlight or cheer on your friends as you dive into a world of music, laughter, and unforgettable moments every Monday starting at 9 p.m. and make your night even sweeter. Enjoy their $5 drink specials as of 7 p.m. that is. So grab the mic, pick your favorite song, and show what you've got. Whether you're a karaoke king or queen or just there to soak in the fun, there's no better way to kick off your week. Playground is your ultimate destination for entertainment. Playground just over the Mercy Bridge, only minutes from downtown Montreal. Visit playground.ca for more details. All right, okay, I'm going to wake myself up even though it's time for bed. I have to tell you, it was a pretty long day for me as well because I was at TVA Sports. Inside their studios at 8 a.m. this morning. So I was there at around 7:30 in the morning, got home at around 6:30 at night, ran a couple of errands, sat down on the sofa for 30 minutes between 9 and 9:30, and then was back here to bring you this at 10 o'clock. But it was my pleasure because it was a big day in the National Hockey League, and you've always been there for me, and I'm going to try and be there for you as long as I can. So thank you very much to my Sick Army, my Sick community. Please tell your friends about it. Let's try and grow the YouTube channel as much as we can and subscribe. It's absolutely free. Tell everyone weeknights at 10 p.m. Monday to Friday, and that's it for us on this Friday, March 8th. Have a great weekend, everyone. It looks like it's going to be a great weekend because tomorrow night, the Montreal Canadiens are going to host the Toronto Maple Leafs. Who knows, maybe even Arbor Jack Guy and Ryan Reeves, to the delight of George Larac. I'm just hoping to see a very entertaining hockey game with a lot of goals, and at least we don't have to put up with the three-goalie system anymore between now and the end of the year. That's one less thing that we'll harp on, and CF Montreal visit Lionel Messi and friends on Sunday in Florida. We'll be back again on Monday night. Same time, same place for Agnello, Sammy, Juliana, Master Control. They're Cavallaro. I'm Marinaro. Me. Only one. Me.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination.